about the cities of refuge. And if I remember right, I said that in that sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, God was assuring those to whom the word was directed to that there is absolute safety in the city of refuge. And he gives some good advice to us in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to read this verse. It says in that 27th verse of the 10th chapter, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They're not to be feared. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear Him, fear God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, in light of this advice given by the Lord Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, if you and I had just a little bit of knowledge about the danger that our soul is in right now, I have to believe it would arouse us from our indifference. Don't you? But for the most part, this does not arouse men from their indifference. Now the problem is that men do not understand the law. This manslayer that we've been talking about, who accidentally killed his neighbor, this manslayer, if he knew anything about the law of Israel, he knew that when he slew his neighbor, he was in big trouble. If he knew anything about it. If he knew anything about the law of God given to the people of Israel, he knew he was in serious trouble. But suppose a man grew up without a knowledge of the law of Israel. It would be possible. Highly improbable, but possible, that an Israelite would grow up without that knowledge of the law. And he might come to this conclusion. This might be his thinking. He may think, well, it was an accident. It really wasn't my fault. It wasn't predetermined or premeditated on my part. I did not intend to do this. I didn't plan it a day or so ahead of time. It was something that just happened. It was an accident, as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't believe there's any evil will fall on me for this thing. Now, the first thing that he does, having slain his neighbor's brother, he goes to his neighbor's brother, who is actually going to be the avenger of the blood. He goes to him. He's next to kin. He's probably the strongest, the swiftest man in the family. He goes to him. He goes to his neighbor's brother. And he's actually going to be the avenger of blood. And he says to his neighbor's brother, he said, "Listen, I'm sorry about what happened. I've accidentally killed your brother." And he begins to apologize and try to make amends. But what has he done? He's done the worst thing that a man can do. Now, is this not what most men do with the law of God because they don't understand it? Over here in Romans chapter 10, let me read to you. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Should I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Well, this is what most men do. They ignore, misunderstand what the law of God demands. Reject, trample underneath their feet the precepts of God, and go about to establish their own righteousness. Rejecting, not respecting the righteousness of God, which is by faith. After having trampled under their feet God's precept, instead of running to the Lord Jesus, God's refuge, the sinner's natural tendency is to do just the opposite. Instead of running to the place of refuge, which is Christ Jesus, they do the opposite. By nature, they turn around and run to the law. They go to Mount Sinai. Now, the only thing that can be found at Mount Sinai is thunder and lightning, threatenings, thunder and lightning. They go to the law at Mount Sinai and try their dead level best to be justified by that which is all out against us, the law of Almighty God. It's out to get us. It's out to do us in. It's out to condemn us. And that's all that law can do. It cannot do anything else but condemn and kill us. Over here in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, let me read this. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. verse 9. Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." That is, sin revived. That means I saw what I was. I saw what I was. My hopeless and helpless condition and state. I saw what I was, that I was a sinner. And he said, "I died to all fleshly hopes of being accepted in God's sight on the basis of any work that I might perform." He learned, "By the deeds of the law shall there be no flesh justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, the avenger of blood, he had only one purpose. And that was to overtake the man that killed his brother and kill him. That was the only objective and purpose of the avenger of blood. Kill him. This avenger of blood was not a man that was given to reason. He is not at this particular time interested in hearing the gory details of the story of the manslayer. He's not interested. His heart is hot. And he don't care to hear any reasons or excuses of how it happened. He's not interested in that. He has one purpose in mind. Just one. And that's to condemn. To kill him. That's the only thing he's got in his mind, is to run as hard as he can, as long as he can, and overtake this man that killed his brother and kill him. That's the only thing he has in mind, is the avenger of blood. Now listen. So it is with the law of God. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law reveals it, but it doesn't do anything about it. It can't do anything about it. All it can do is reveal, condemn, and to kill. That's all the law can do. That was the sole purpose of the avenger of blood. Catch up with this fellow and kill him. He has but one thought that continually crosses his mind, and that's to vindicate the honor of God, whom we have dishonored by transgressing His precepts. The law of God is so determined that it will not be satisfied until a full and complete and absolute payment for sins has been received, either from me or my substitute. That's what the law of God demands. It's determined. And it will never let up until it vindicates the honor of God. Now, this avenger of blood, it was not just enough for him to run as fast as he could and overtake this man and grab him and wound him. That would not satisfy him, and that was not his purpose, to wound him. If he gets him and cuts his leg off or knocks his eye out or cuts one arm off, he's failed in his objective. His objective, which is a determined objective, is to overtake this fella and kill him on the spot. That's the objective of the avenger of blood. He will be satisfied with nothing but death. Now, holy God, holy, holy, holy God, to whom we owe an infinite sin debt. Infinite sin debt. We've sinned all our lives. We came into this world as rebels. And probably, well, if not by the grace of God, we'll go out of this world as screaming rebels. And we owe an infinite sin debt to God Almighty. And God will be satisfied with nothing less than full payment for every sin charged to our account. Sins of yesterday, sins of today, and sins of tomorrow. All shall demand recompense. And God will not be satisfied until full payment is made. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death is the full payment. The law of God is severe. Very severe. Knows nothing of mercy. No mercy in the law of God. God Himself cannot dispense mercy apart from justice being satisfied. There's no salvation apart from justice being satisfied. Justice must be satisfied. Righteousness must be established. God will not forgive any man's sin or show mercy to any man apart from justice being satisfied. The law of God's severe. God's character binds Him to punish evildoers, sinners who have no covering. The law of God's severe knows no mercy. It would not help the manslayer. The avenger of blood is hot on his trail. He's tracked him. He's pursuing him with all that's in him. He's in sight. The manslayer can almost hear the breathing of the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood will not be deterred. He's determined. He doesn't want to wound this fellow. He wants to kill him. It would not help the manslayer in this situation to turn around and get on his knees and beg all day long to the avenger of blood for mercy. It wouldn't do him no good. No. The avenger of blood has one object, one objective, one aim. One determination. That's to kill him. That's all's in his mind. I got to kill him. So it is with the law of God. Just thunder and lightning. No sunshine of the pure grace of God is seen in the law of God. Someone says that the Ten Commandments are the mind of God. That's not so. The Ten Commandments says, this, do or die. That's what the Ten Commandments says. You do it or you die. You do it or the wages of your not doing it is eternal death. There's no mercy in the Ten Commandments, the law. It's strict and severe justice. It's this do. Either do it or you die. So it is with the law of God. Thunder and lightning. No grace. No love. No mercy. You say, the law of God's a transcript of God's mind. Oh no. A transcript of His severity. There's no mercy in the law. But is there not mercy in God? But it's not found in the law. It's found in Him. It's found in Him who's our city of refuge. All God's mercy's in Him. Not apart from Him. Not in the law. They being ignorant of the righteousness of God. Ignorant, ignorant. Set out to establish a righteousness of their own. Worst thing that a man can do is try to establish a righteousness of his own based upon his works, his doing, his thoughts. No hope there. It's all in Him. Well, listen. All that a man can expect from God's law is eternal damnation. And as long as a man looks or pleads with the law for mercy, the only thing he'll ever hear is, cursed, cursed is everyone that keepeth not all the things that I've commanded you. My God, you've got to have an absolute, complete, perfect conformity to the law of Almighty God. Every jot and every tittle of it must be honored and magnified in all of its excellence. You must have that. You can't get it from the law. The law will show you. The law will show you who you are. But the grace of God will display who He is. Full of grace and full of mercy. It's all found in Him. Our city of refuge. Huh? Oh, listen. Our danger is, if we're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in serious trouble. If you're not in Him, you're in serious trouble. The Avenger of blood is after you. He will have his pound of flesh. He's not interested in breaking your leg. He's interested in killing you. That's his sole purpose. He can do nothing else. Many folks pride themselves of staying out of trouble with man's law. I've never got a speeding ticket. I've never been to jail. I've honored the law best I know how. Kept man's law. Pride themselves in it. And go merrily, merrily on their way downward and wind up eternal death. When it was God's law condemning them every step of the way. The cities of refuge are the result of God's appointment. You see, the first thing He said to the children of Israel there about the refuge that He, God Himself, was going to appoint them, six cities. The city or cities of refuge are by God's appointment. He appointed them. He has given us a sure and strong refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has appointed him. He has appointed him before time ever was. He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's a sure refuge. He is a predetermined refuge. The cities of refuge were predetermined by God. He appointed them. God in compassion. Compassionate God. Compassionate and wisdom. Foresaw a problem here with his race. And planned a refuge before there ever was a need of a refuge. He didn't wait until the situation arose that called for a refuge. That'd be too late. But before any man had ever slew his neighbor accidentally, God had already made provision for the manslayer who killed his neighbor. He said, I will appoint thee a place for him to flee before it even happened. In 1 Corinthians, let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, I believe. Listen to what it says. Paul's talking about in this chapter, you know, they had a lot of problems there in the church of Corinth. Some said, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Peter, and some said, I'm of Paul and other things. And Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. He's the appointed Lamb of God, and salvation's in Him, and Him alone. I'm determined not to know anything among you. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Preaching the truth of God in power. In power. I always like to hear a man who preached be enthusiastic with the message and see power displayed in the message. I've heard preachers preach. It sounds to me like they're preaching was like a dog walking in dry leaves. No conviction, no demonstration of power, no enthusiasm. Dead, dry twigs. Said it wasn't that way with me, Paul said. And he goes on down here, verse 7. Listen to what he says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He tells us here that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the hidden wisdom of God that He ordained before the world was. Need I say in light of this that God is never surprised? He was not surprised by Adam's sin. He was not surprised by your sin. And He was not surprised by Satan's rebellion. No, sir. Redemption was always in the mind of God. Ordained before world unto our glory. Oh, it was a saying that there was a Savior before there was a sinner. God is not caught by surprise. A Savior before there was a sinner. The law keeper before there was a lawbreaker. Over in 1 Peter, it says that He's the Lamb slain, the foundation of the world. The Son of God has always been and ever will be the refuge of the sinner. Always was. Let no one tell you otherwise. You are not saved any different than Abraham was. All the same. Saved one way. How was saved? By faith in God's one appointed sacrifice. A sinner is sure to perish anywhere but in Christ. He's our refuge. He's the sinner's refuge. He's the law keeper for the lawbreaker. He establishes righteousness. He satisfies justice. He bears the sinner's sin and the sinner's penalty due him against his sin. He did. He makes the sinner accepted in the beloved. He takes the sinner by the hand and takes him into the presence of God in all of his own acceptability. And he ever lives to make intercession for the poor sinner. Many refuges have men made, many refuges. Some hide in baptism. There's a whole bunch of people resting in their baptism, not resting in Christ alone. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. They're resting in Him. Man has made another refuge. They said, now if you'll be baptized in His name, be baptized the right way, get down in the water and come up out of the water. Hold out to the end. There's a possibility you might be saved. No safety in that. That's a man-made refuge. Many refuges. And I could go over a dozen of them, 100 of them, if I had the time. One religion is good as another. Young man I was talking to here just recently, having some trouble with his wife. And it's all over the gospel. Not many men are divorced or women and make the grounds of their divorce the gospel. Some do. But it's rare, isn't it? But this girl, she told her husband, she said, I don't like to go to your church. She said, when I go to church, I want to feel good. Said, I never feel good when I go with you. I want to feel good. And when I go to my mother's church, I feel good. I don't feel good there. She doesn't know good, bad proceeds from good. What can you know about good if you didn't know anything about being bad? Well, you're good all the time. I'm always good. I always feel good. Have you ever felt bad? How you know you feel good? You know you feel good till you feel bad. No one can make you feel bad, real bad, sick and in serious trouble is God's Holy Spirit when He reveals unto you the law, what the law demands, and the light of who God is shines into your soul, and you cry out like Job and say, I've seen ya, with a sin of the eye. I've heard you, but now I see you. I repent. God help me in just and ashes. I hate myself. Nothing about me that I can lay before you. Not anything. He said, I am rotten. I'm corrupt. I hate myself. I don't love myself. I hate myself. Hate the evil and wickedness that's prone to my acting of my heart. Oh, you got to be made to feel bad before you'll ever feel good. Before the good news, there's bad news. Bad news is you're in serious trouble. That's the bad news. You're in serious trouble. The avenger of blood is on your heels. And he's not out to wound you. He's out to kill you. Eternal death is to kill you and send you to hell. Did not our Lord say, fear not them that can kill the body, but rather fear him who's able to destroy the body and soul in hell? Serious trouble. Good news comes after bad news. The girl said, well, I can't come, Mary. I can't come. And the boy says, what am I going to do? Got a problem. Got a problem. I don't know what to tell you to do. I don't know. I could tell you what you shouldn't have done, but that wouldn't help you because it's already done. See? He didn't come to me and ask me for any advice, and that's all right. I don't feel offended at that. But he didn't come to me and say, well, now my girl, she doesn't believe the gospel. But I love her and I want to marry her. Now, I might have said, you better have second thoughts about that. Because she may look good enough to eat, and you may wish you had ate her. Huh? Well, that's all I got to say. One religion, good as another. That's what this girl thought. That's what she thinks, and they are multiplied thousands and thousands of people. We are certainly in the minority that who do not agree with that. Yeah. Most people agree that one religion is good as another. What if the manslayer would have reasoned like we reason and said, one city is good as another? There's no need for me to run as fast as I can these 50 miles. I'll go to this city here. It's only 5 miles down the road. I'll go in that city. Is one city good as another? No, sir. Is one woman good as another? Ask your wife that. Huh? Oh, no. You need to go to church where the gospel is preached. If the gospel is not preached where you go, don't go. Don't go. Go where the gospel is preached. Yeah. All right, let's stand and we'll begin.